It is very interesting, the first reading today, beautiful invitation on the part of God, spoken through the prophet Hosea. God invites Israel to return. He doesn't want Israel to remain separated from him. He doesn't want Israel to remain in its sin. He says, return, return to me. You ever been in a situation where it's just an awkward thing and you just don't have the words, you don't know what to say? Like, if I run into that person, I'm like, I'm avoiding them. Why are you avoiding them? Because I don't know what to say. You ever had one of those situations? No? Yes? I can't see. You guys are not moving. Thank you. Okay. All right. All right. Wake up out there. I'm talking to dead people. That's not great, right? God, through the prophet, gives them the words to say. Did you notice that? When we struggle in our heart of what is it that I say? What do I do? How do I reconcile? What do I need to say? He even gives the people the words. He says, forgive all iniquity and receive what is good, that we may render as offerings the bullocks from our stalls. Assyria will not save us, nor shall we have horses to mount, for we shall no more say no more our God to the work of our hands, for in you the orphan finds compassion. God actually just, he gives to the people, you need to say this. It's not just a formula, it's not like a magic word kind of thing. It is an expression of humility, an expression of the acknowledgement that they cannot save themselves and that Assyria and Assyria's army is not going to save them from that which oppresses them. And that we need to stop making a God from the work of our own hands. So if you ever find yourself in that same situation with God, I don't know what to say. I don't have words. Turn to Hosea chapter 14, verse 2 and following. And put it into your own words. Forgive all my iniquity, Lord. Receive from me what is good, that I truly may render an offering to you from the storehouse of my wealth, of my time, and my gifts. YouTube, the internet, my family, my work, none of these things will save me. Nor shall I have whatever to mount and to rely upon. I shall make no more, say no more, my God, to the things that I'm doing. But in you, I find compassion. There's beautiful things that we can do with Scripture, my brothers and sisters. It is the Word of God. It speaks always, in every generation, because it is the Holy Spirit who speaks in and through it. We find expression for our heart and our need. Jesus confirms in this, it seems that that prayer is an affirmation to pray, first of all, and I'll just say it this way. We had a conference on Wednesday, and the person that was presenting at the conference did an excellent job of saying it this way, of articulating this much better than I'm going to do right now. When we pray, what is so important about the prayer is that we are acknowledging that we are not God. The most fundamental thing that our prayer says is that I'm not God. Remember when Jesus points out the tax collector who stood in the back in the temple, and then the man that went up front and said, "I thank you, Lord, that I am not like all of these other people." Remember that? What did the writer of the gospel say? The man then prayed these words to himself, right? "I thank you, Lord," praying to himself, not praying to God. Not like the one, the tax collector in the back, who was beating his breast saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner." When we pray, it is first and foremost an acknowledgement that we are not God, that there is another, and my life is utterly dependent upon him. It speaks a truth. Every time we open our mouth in prayer, it speaks a truth, and it puts us in a right relationship with God. In so doing, prayer itself becomes an expression of the command that Jesus speaks in the gospel. You know, when you pray, my brothers and sisters, you render praise and worship to God. What is most essential about that is that being made in the image and likeness of God, we are created to pour ourselves out. When you enter into prayer with God and you speak prayer and you speak blessing, you speak truth to God, you are imitating that. You are doing that. You are pouring yourself out for the other. It's not that God needs our prayer. We need to pray more than God needs to receive our prayer. We need to worship him more than he needs to receive our worship, because it is right in who we are. Because it is what God does. He pours himself out in love constantly. And for us to receive that love and to reciprocate that love means to enter into the fullness of what we were created to be. It seems so simple today, this little passage that God gives the words to Israel so that they might speak to him. They might enter in a truthful relationship with him. They may acknowledge their sin and speak of his mercy and ask for his blessing. But in so doing, they're fulfilling the first command: to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. Do not dismiss prayer as something periphery to your life. Prayer is not periphery. Prayer is one of the fullest expressions of who you are and who you were created to be. To pray is one of the greatest acts of freedom that you can possess and have and do. And when we pray to God and not ourselves, we enter into the truthfulness of that. And we are rightly ordered to life in him. Amen.